Welcome to the Storyline Podcast, where we are talking to global leaders about God's global mission. Hello, and welcome to the Storyline Podcast. My name is Kirby Holmes. I'll be your host for this particular episode. And today is going to be a conversation that I have with Austin Gillis. Today we're talking about becoming a world Christian. We get to discuss kind of this big question, what is a world Christian? I mean, how does somebody grow into becoming somebody who has a global perspective and who understands God's heart and work in the world? I hope as a result of this podcast, you'll grow a little bit more into what it means to be a world Christian. Let's get started.
All right, what's up, guys? This is Austin again. I'm here with Kirby Holmes. And today we're kind of discussing this idea of a world Christian and what does that mean? What does that look like? Where do we get the term? So Kirby, let's just jump right in. A world Christian, like who is this person? As we start to understand God's purpose in Scripture, desire to partner with God in this, how do we access the full nature of God's purpose for our lives?
Yeah, I think missiologists have kind of come up with this term, the world Christian. And not to be confused with the worldly Christian, which would be something very different, right? The worldly Christian would be somebody that still pursues the ways of the world and not really follow in the ways of Christ.
Yeah, not talking about
We're not talking about that. We're talking about a world Christian, or some people say a global Christian. But it's somebody who has kind of grappled with the immense needs of the world. As we've looked in previous episodes of this podcast, that there are people groups around the world who have no access to a Bible. There are no churches. There are no missionaries. And they don't have access to the good news about God's love for them and about what Jesus Christ has done for them. And so world Christians are people who understand the realities of the world. And they also understand what God's purpose is to reach every person within these people groups. I mean, God has a heart. He has a longing, a desire to love every person in the people groups of the world. And so I think it's said really well by the comparison of John Lennon and Jesus, the perspective of a world Christian. So John Lennon sings in one of his lyrics of a song, and you guys know John Lennon is one of the Beatles. He sings, "Living is easy if you do it with your eyes closed." But to contrast what John Lennon sings, Jesus says this. He says, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." And it's a great contrast because if you close your eyes to the needs of the world, yeah, it's a lot more peaceful for you. But Jesus says, do not close your eyes to the needs of the world. In fact, open them and look and see what God might do if we activated ourselves to be a part of the harvest of what God is doing in the world. And so a world Christian is somebody that wants to identify with Jesus and open their eyes and say, how do I get to be a part of meeting needs in the world?
That's great. So we have this kind of picture of a world Christian painted now. How would you describe one? What is a world Christian like? What do they do?
Yeah, so it's kind of easy to identify a world Christian. William Carey once said, world Christians, they hold the Bible in one hand and a map in the other. And I think what he meant when he said that is a world Christian is somebody who has identified that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God is a missionary God, and God is purposefully looking to seek and save those who are in the world that don't know about his son, Jesus Christ. And the map is to find out where are those people located. And we've talked about in previous episodes of this podcast, where are the majority of the unreached people groups that live in the world? And we've talked about the 10/40 window and areas of North Africa and the Middle East and Southeast Asia. And so William Carey does a good job of describing a world Christian, how they have a Bible in one hand, they have a map in the other, and they're purposefully trying to say, okay, I'm the one holding these two things. What's my role in God's mission? What do I get to do to contribute to this generation of reaching the unreached?
Yeah, I love that. I love that illustration of a Bible in one hand and a map in the other. It just, to me, I conjure up this image of just early missionaries and even the early church just saying, okay, where's the gospel not? And that's where I want to go. Just like Paul said, where where is the gospel not being shared? And you know what? That's my next plan. Let me find on the map where I need to go. I love that illustration.
Yeah, let me add to that real quick. There's kind of a posture of a world Christian. It's not somebody who knows everything and is a professional Christian. They've had, you know, missionary training or they've been to a seminary. A world Christian is an ordinary Christian in a local church, in a city or a town. But they position themselves or posture themselves as a learner to say, you know what? How can I participate in some way with what God is doing in the world? And so as a learner, there's several ways that a world Christian can begin to kind of activate this learning posture. One, it's through listening to podcasts like this. There's so many great biographical books about missionaries that you can read their stories. There's great blogs that are being written by, missionaries around the world or sort of missions thinkers and these practitioners that are talking about the stories of missions. It's just great to be able to live in a place where we can gather together for conferences, and there's missions conferences like Urbana and others that are just great opportunities for us to learn about God's mission in the world and the places where we can still go. I think it's important, too, just to relationally put ourselves in the position of a learner. And that's by meeting and talking to people from other countries that might live near us or work with us or, you know, maybe associate with us in the hobby that we do. So it's great to be able to talk to people who are from different countries. And I remember when I was working as a college student, there was a guy named Javier, a Mexican, who worked alongside me. And Javier and I started a friendship and we'd have meals together and he'd come by my place and we'd talk and catch up, or I'd swing by his place and we'd watch a movie. And just by hanging out with Javier, getting to know him as a Mexican, and the food that he would serve would just be very different than what I'd be used to. And it was great to try that with him, and the stories he tell of growing up in Mexico. Just a really neat opportunity for me to learn about another culture through relationship. So I think understanding a world Christian is just somebody who puts themselves in a position of learning and understanding culture and trying to listen for what those needs are in the world and what God might be doing.
I love it. That's awesome. So as you're describing this, this world Christian, like we try to do in all of our episodes, is tie this back into the Bible. So who in the Bible do you think really represents this world Christian well? Who kind of embodies this nature that we can look to and say, hey, this is a great example? Obviously, Jesus. So
yeah, Jesus
we know he's probably the best at being a world Christian. But other than him, who's a good example for us?
Well, I think Paul is a great example of having this perspective of God being a global God, and if he's going to follow Jesus into the mission of what Jesus was doing, that he needed to be a global Christian. And so as I've read through Romans and really seen Paul's heart, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles were not those people who were promised the blessing of God, but really the Israelites were to be missionaries to Gentiles around the world. And you know, when Jesus came, Paul understood that was Jesus' continued mission, was to bless the nations. And so we see this in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, where Paul even points out that what he really wants for the Jews and the Gentiles is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. So he's thinking globally when he uses that word, everyone. And he goes on to list out this series of questions that are kind of practical about what it means to live out this lifestyle of being a world Christian. He says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And so I just see Paul really understanding his role as a world Christian, that, you know, it's not, it means more than just, you know, where did I grow up and what city do I currently live and work in? I think Paul understood God's heart for the nations. He said, you know, if there are people who live on the planet who do not yet know Jesus Christ, well, somebody has to go and tell them. And that seems to be his line of thinking as he writes these questions to the church, that people need to be sent to them, you know, and how beautiful are the feet of those who are being sent, the ones that are sort of joining in God's story to be a part of his purpose in the world. So to me, Paul really understood this well. And of course, you know, he lived this out. If you study through the book of Acts, you see all the places where Paul traveled and, you really sense the heart of Paul, where he says, I want to go to the places where Jesus Christ has not yet been made known. And that really seems to be Paul's heart as a world Christian.
So I love it. I think it's very convincing. But as you're convincing me, the natural response that I feel is, what are next steps for me? What are the next steps for just anybody listening?
Yeah, I think probably three things that you can do practically to kind of grow this idea of being a world Christian. One would be to talk to your pastor or your missions leader at your church and find out what short-term mission projects might be coming up, projects that would be cross-cultural. And if your church isn't currently doing cross-cultural ministry projects, why don't you propose being a point leader for one of those projects and gathering a team together, partnering with a church or an organization somewhere globally, and go on a short-term trip. I think once you experience other cultures, once you get to understand the differences of the way people live in the world and experience the exchange of love that can happen, even when there's different languages and different foods and different rhythms and patterns of life, I just think you'll grow into a new awareness of how much God truly loves in this world just by going on a cross-cultural mission project. So I would say look for that as an opportunity just to kind of grow your awareness of what it means to be a world Christian. I would also say use great website resources. Two of those website resources would be joshuaproject.net or prayercast.com. This would be a way for you to really learn more about unreached people groups. There's even an app you can download, the Joshua Project app, and every day it'll pop up a new unreached people group on your phone and give you a chance to understand who those people are and where they are in the world and the place they are on the map and some of their needs. And you can pray specifically for those unreached peoples. And then a third thing would be to reach out to people in your local community. You know, in many cities and towns, a lot of refugees that are coming out of the Middle East or places around the world where there's political upheaval or unrest, there's persecutions of various kinds, they're being resettled in the United States. It's one of the things that historically has been great about who we are as a country is being a welcome place for the refugee. And so if you've got refugees in your city, there's an opportunity for you to meet them and get to know them and serve them practically. Also, in some of the larger cities, we have international students that study in our universities. And these students would love to be invited into an American home and have a meal, get to know an American. And, you know, if you as a Christian are able to explore, you know, who they are and what it's like to live in their home country and get to know them and understand their family, just a great opportunity for you to really grow as a world Christian and understanding what's going on in the world. So I would say those are three practical ways, is take a short-term mission trip, get online and find some of the resources there and begin learning about people in the world or just reaching out to foreigners who live near you and get to know them locally.
It really seems like as we pursue God's true calling and his true nature and purpose for our life, we quickly realize that he's calling us to be world Christians. So thank you for your heart to be a world Christian and just your heart to inform us on what it means to be a world Christian. My hope is that as we pursue God, we can see his heart for the nations and see where we fit into his story and even the courage to take some of these next steps. And so, Kirby, thank you again, as always. Love hanging out with you and just getting to talk with you and hear your passion for this subject. So thanks, man.
You bet. Thanks, Austin.
Well, it was great to have you on our podcast today. Glad you followed along with that discussion. We just want you to know that if you want to read more about what's happening in the global church with missions, that we periodically write blogs on our website. And it's a great opportunity to hear about things that we're experiencing as we travel around the world and talk to Christian leaders who are leading denominations, who are missions directors from various countries around the world, talking about their perspective about the missions from their country. And a lot of times we'll write articles and report on these kinds of stories as a storyline mission team, and we'll post them on our blog. So if you ever want to go to our website, storylinemissions.org, that's storylinemissions with an S, .org, you can go to our blog and find out more about what's going on around the world with mobilizing the global church. Thanks again for joining us on this podcast.